We come to worship God together. Our God is great, and we are going to worship him to hear his word, and we meet together in love. Our first song, Jesus Be the Center.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center. Be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Sing again, Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center, be my source, be my be the center. Jesus be the center. Be my hope, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus.
Fire in lift our hands, Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be the center. Lovely building, just to sing his name. Nothing else. The name that the Bible says God has given to him, that's above every other name. Jesus. You sing the harmonies. Just love him, Jesus. Jesus.
We come to praise our Lord. We come to worship him. We come to wait upon him for his word. For he is the one and only, the true and living God. And we come to give him the praise and the glory for all that he does. He is wonderful, and we want to praise him in our morning of worship. Amen. Now we're going to sing Jesus. Oh, sorry. We're going to sing My Jesus, My Savior.
Thank you.
Now we come to our Lord in prayer for our prayer of intercession. Lord, as we come to you in prayer this morning, we know that there are restrictions upon us all because of this COVID virus. Lord, we may not find these restrictions easy to act upon, but Lord, we ask that you would be our strength, that you would be our wisdom, that we would accept what we are asked to do to protect our lives and the lives of others. Lord, we thank you that we have people who are willing to guide us, people who are willing to care for us, people who are willing to serve us. Lord, help us that we might do all that we can to protect our country and to protect ourselves. We thank you for those who are in authority. Give to them your wisdom, Lord. We pray, Lord, for all the people who serve us. Once again, Lord, we want to pray for the people who work in the National Health Service, in our hospitals, in our clinics. We pray for our doctors, for our surgeons. We pray for our police force. We pray for our fire service. We pray, Lord, too, for the many volunteers that are working to help us in our country at this time. Lord, we pray that we might overcome all the difficulties that we may find. And Lord, we can do this by putting our complete trust in you. Lord, we thank you for your church throughout the world. We thank you for the way that your church is on the increase. We pray for our church in this country. We pray for the Willows. We pray for each other, Lord. We pray for Dawn, for Bruce, for Emma, for Hannah, for Morris, for John and Margaret. We pray, Lord, for Emma's friend, Caroline. We pray for Dawn's brother, Ernest. And Lord, we pray you'll guide him concerning the firm that he runs. Lord, may they be helped so that that firm will be able to continue to work. So, Lord, be with Emma and Dawn, that their jobs may become safe. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with Hannah and help her with the difficulties that she has. Bless them all, Lord, as a family. Take care of them, we pray. We pray for David, Wendy, Joshua, and Daryl. Be with the two boys. Meet their needs, Lord, we pray. Be with Wendy, Lord. Be her healer. Be her companion. And Lord, we pray for David. We thank you for him. And we pray that as he serves the National Health Service as a carer, that as he goes to care for people, you would go with him and you would protect the people he serves and that you would protect David. So, Lord, bless David, Wendy, Joshua and Daryl and all their family and friends. We pray, Lord, for Jean, for Stuart, for Sharon, for Peter, for Jade, for Fraser. Be with them as a family, Lord. Keep them close to each other and close to you. And Lord, we specially ask for Jean and Stuart that you would be all that they need at this particular time. We pray for Ollie. We pray for her sons and daughters. We pray for her in-laws. We pray for her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. Be with them all, Lord. But for Ollie, Lord, be her companion. Be her strength. Equip her for her discipleship. Be with all of her family and friends. We pray for Rita, Terry, Jackie, Russell, and Julie. Be with them as a family, Lord. And Lord, protect Rita. Be her companion, especially when she's on her own. Be with her when she's out and about. Lord, equip her for her discipleship. Lord, we pray for Sarah. We pray for her family, for her friends, and for her neighbors. And Lord, we thank you for the help that she's giving to Dennis's daughter, Sarah. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work through our Sarah, that you'd be her strength, her healer, and her companion. We pray for Brian, for his son, for his friends, for all the people that he meets during the week. Lord, be with them all. Keep them fit, safe, and happy, and equip Brian for his discipleship. We pray for Graham, for Dawn, for Rachel, for Dean. Be with them, Lord. Be especially with Rachel as she and Neil are looking forward to a wedding which they're not really sure will take place in October. Be with Paul and Jennifer and their family. Keep them close to each other and close to you, Lord. Be with Richard, Barbara, Harry, and their family and friends. Keep them safe and strong, Lord. Be with Richard Saunders, Jilly, and Robert. Bless them as they live together. Be all that they need at this time. Pray for Eunice and for myself. Lord, keep us strong. And Lord, our main prayer is that we might be free from this horrible virus. Lord, protect us, protect our families and friends, and help us to accept the restrictions that are given to us on this time when the virus is beginning to increase its trouble. Lord, help us to put our confidence in you. You tell us that we should cast our burdens upon you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to know the work of the Spirit within us. The virus will not stop us from serving you. So, Lord, fill us with your power, the power of the Spirit working in us. Lord, help us to use the gifts of the Spirit and to reveal in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. In that way, Lord, we can serve you despite any problems. So, Lord, will you have your way in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to have the song, Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts.
Come on, you folks on the floor, don't let me down. This is a dancing song, or at least a little bit of a move. Here we go. Jesus put this song. Here we go.
Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Different faces, different races.
taught us how to be a family, loving one another in the love that He gave. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Jesus turned our sorrow into dancing. Jesus turned our sorrow.
Now I'm going to sit down and share with you a word of testimony. 3 weeks ago, I was told by my doctor that he needed to refer me to the hospital for a colon inspection. And you would think, wouldn't you, that I would accept it with faith and with joy. But I've not found it easy. You know, I may be the pastor, I may be a leader, but you know, there are times when I think for all of us, we worry when we perhaps should not worry. I put my trust in the Lord, and I slept soundly most nights, but some nights I woke and I couldn't go back to sleep. In the end, I prayed. And the Lord helped me, of course. But I was weak. I didn't put my full trust in Him. Now I've been told only yesterday that on this coming Friday, October the 2nd, one of the consultants will be ringing me to discuss how we go forward. When the doctor told me that he wanted me to have this examination to rule out cancer, those words have rung through my heart and mind ever since. Yes, we trust our Lord, we should do. But I'm sharing with you that I've not found it easy. I worry at times when I shouldn't. But my friends, I know with your support, with your help, with your prayers, and most of all, I should trust the Lord because He will not let me down. He says, cast your burdens upon me. And I found that a hard lesson to bear. We are all weak. I am weak. But with our Lord, we can be strong. We just have to claim his promises. Thank you for listening to me this morning.
The reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that from which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Now we're going to sing the song More About Jesus, and that's what we need, isn't it? Now we come to God's word for today. The title, Do We Really Know Jesus? We've talked previously about knowing God and his word, but this is specifically today about do we really know Jesus? Philippians 3 verse 8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. First of all, knowing Jesus, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, had a good knowledge of Scripture. Every time he persecuted Christians, he thought he was fighting for the truth and justice and the excellent way of God. But Saul's knowledge of God was an illusion. So what happens? He goes on the Damascus Road, ready to experience his way of serving the God he thought he knew. But what happened? It was fantastic. On that road, he was converted. He became a true believer. But you know, I thought it a special event when I saw a singer that I like very much. And when she glanced at me, I thought, she knows me. But you know, knowing about a person is not really knowing them. And so the challenge is, how well do we know God? How well do we know the Father? How well do we know the Son? How well do we know the Spirit? So knowing Jesus. Number two, experiencing Jesus. You see, this is more than head knowledge. This is heart knowledge. It is Paul experiencing God working in his life. It's a relationship with God. But there is more. God, through Jesus, has done his part. Now it's Paul's responsibility to experience Jesus in his life. And so an intimate relationship begins. You can compare it to a house, to kitchen, to work, to study, to learning, to lounge, to leisure, to dining room, to eating, to bedroom, etc. Paul, in other words, experienced Jesus in every area of his life. So what about us? Is Jesus the head of our home, the head of our life? Do we really experience an intimate relationship with Jesus? How close are we with him? Do we love him deeply? Do we walk side by side at all times? Matthew 5, verse 6. We should claim this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Knowing Jesus, experiencing Jesus, and now seated with Jesus. And I want to read to you Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7. As God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the comparable riches of his grace experienced in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Seated with Jesus. Knowing him, experiencing, seated with him. Where is your place when you pray? Do you see yourself coming to the Lord, cap in hand, to beg? When do you pray? Do you feel a little bit out of place in the divine throne room? Perhaps you picture yourself at a distance from God, timid and shy, and pleading with God to answer. Sometimes we may need to go cap in hand. But generally, God wants us to understand our glorious position in prayer. verse 6. He has exalted, raised us up, because we are united with Jesus. We have been exalted, raised up with him, and we are sharing his throne in the heavenlies. Our physical position may be on earth, but our spiritual position is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, when we come to God to praise and intercede, it is our privilege and pleasure to join with Christ where he is seated at God's right hand. And that is no place for a beggar to be. It's a place for a child of the King. And as believers, that's just what we are. As our verse states, it is God who raised us up to be seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. It's a place not only of privilege, but also of serious responsibility. For as we pray, we do so alongside our Lord from an exalted position. We are partners with Jesus in spiritual warfare. And because he lives to intercede, we live to intercede also. When we pray, seated next to the Lord in the heavenly realms, then this, our most feeble and faint prayer, shakes the hearts of the people for whom we pray. In other words, it's a privilege and it's a responsibility. Jesus, the one who died on the cross, is none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to him personally, we know that he is a life-saving man. It's a great experience for us because we are sharing with our Saviour. He is walking with us day by day, and we have an intimate relationship. Then on top of that, spiritually seeking, we can join with him in prayer as we are seated with him in the heavenly prayer room. Because that's what happens. When we go to prayer, we are in the heavenly prayer room. So may each one of us be able to say, we know Jesus, we experience Jesus, and we are seated with Jesus. And can I say, friends, that all this is a foretaste of what is to come in the new life that awaits us. For the day will come when all who believe and have this wonderful and personal relationship with Jesus will not only meet him, but will live forever in his presence, in his eternal kingdom. Praise to God for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I lost the order of service for a moment. It blew in the wind. We come to our last song. All I Once Held Dear. Yeah. We held things dear that were of the world. But now we hold dear knowing Jesus. Let us sing.
This world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted lost, spent and worthless now. compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness.
Lord, as we continue to live, may we live for you. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those we love and know, both now and forevermore. Amen.